Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Yeah, we have not signed him. There's a thought going around. You know, he was in the best shape of his life, asked to see if he could work out with a couple of our coaches. I wasn't even there. And they came back to me and said, wow, this guy's in incredible shape. And I said, then I went another time and watched him try him out. And they said, go work on these things. He comes back later. They try him out again. I'm not there. And they come in and they said, wow. You know, this guy's ball skills, he's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand. Now, this guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
See, this is good news for Will.
Why? What do you mean?
That is a tweet that it would be very believable that Galvin would write it. I think I know Galvin's style a little bit better. That's why I didn't think it was him. Definitely a tweet that I would write, and it was Will. So it leads me to believe that Will is the next generation of greatness on this radio station.
How do you like that?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, RadioSt.Pete.com, and Sunshine 96.7 FM here in downtown St. Petersburg. How the hell are you? My name is Will Koontz. Again, yeah, I know. I don't know why you would tune in, assuming that someone else would be here, but you were wrong. Yeah, sorry, man. Hey, first, before we get started, I got to say thank you very much to Jared Johnson. He contributed at hmbradio.com/donate last week, and it didn't arrive until after I recorded last week's episode, so I just wanted to say thank you very much to Jared, and I didn't forget about you, and I was very grateful to receive that donation, which I gave to Anna because it was her birthday, and she had a pathetic tab. Pretty much, she was drinking all day, and that amount that you gave me was her bar tab. So I just went ahead and sent that to her, and she thanks you as well. And I wanted to remind everybody that if you want to, you can do that. Now, you don't have to, of course. I'm just reminding you that it is possible and there for you to do that. hmbradio.com/donate. Now, big news for me, because I am a boomer, and I finally figured out how to get some sort of merch happening for hmbradio.com and this podcast. And if you're a fan, if you'd like to contribute, of course, you're able to do that. But if you want to get something for your money, now you're able to do that as well. Technology has caught up with people like me, and now I'm able to have merchandise without actually spending $10,000 on T-shirts and then selling 10 of them. So that's what's always kept me from having merch, and now it's available. I found a place called Printful that does printing kind of on demand type thing. Now they keep the vast majority of the money, but they do most of the work, so I suppose that's okay. And if you go over to hmbradio.com/store, there's three options available there right now: a cool looking hat, a T-shirt, and a hoodie. Now I got one of the hoodies for me. You can order a test round to see what it would look like. Make sure it's of your liking before you make people buy junk, which I didn't want to do. And it's high quality, man. It's a great sweatshirt. I wear it a lot. The print job came out awesome. And I'm assuming the hat and T-shirt are the same way, although I got to be honest with you, I did not order any of those. But I think I'm going to order the hat for me because it's a cool-looking hat. So go over to hmbradio.com/store and check it out. And that's my spiel. And thank you. And thanks again, Jared Johnson, for that donation. I appreciate you. Now, Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, legendary University of Florida quarterback. I have fond memories of that time because I was dating a girl that lived in Gainesville, Florida. She was at the University of Florida at that time. I applied to the University of Florida to try to go to school there as well. And since I'm a moron, I did not get in, unfortunately. You needed a 4.0 to get in when I was in college. And now I think they're basically an Ivy League school, from my understanding. You have to be a freak in order to get into that school. Played quarterback from Jacksonville area. Played at Nice High School up there in Jacksonville. And he, had a semi-successful pro career. He made the playoffs one year, took the Denver Broncos to a playoff game. He just didn't hack it, for whatever reason. He was a huge star in college. And decided that after bouncing around to a few different teams, he's on the Jets, the Eagles, Patriots, just decided he's going to hang it up. And, they offered to, try him at other positions, but he was a quarterback. He wanted to be a quarterback, and no one would let him play quarterback because he just wasn't that good at quarterback in the NFL. And so he said, all right, thanks. I'm just going to go off and try to play baseball now. So he signed with the Mets, New York Mets, went to their minor league affiliates for a few years, did okay. I think he made it up to double A and maybe even triple A for a little while, but never made it to a 40-man MLB roster. And after many years, 33 years old, he decided, all right, well, I tried and I couldn't make this happen either. So he stepped away from baseball. Now his old football coach at the University of Florida, Urban Meyer, where he found his most success, just got a job with the Jacksonville Jaguars as their head coach. So he's dipping his toes into the pro coaching ranks. And that tends to, I don't know what the percentage of success is with people who go from college to pros, but I feel like in my knowledge, in my time frame, it hasn't been that great. I remember Steve Spurrier, another Florida coach, heading over to they were the Redskins at the time. Now they're the football team, Washington football team. Not doing great. Chip Kelly, I think, coached at Philadelphia with the Eagles, and he didn't do that great. Jim Harbaugh, I think, did, or his brother did. I think he did pretty good from what I remember, but I don't think he's a coach there anymore. So in my brief recollection, it has gone great. Pete Carroll was one that had success. He coached the Patriots for a long time, and now he's the Seattle Seahawks head coach, and he's doing pretty well there. But anyway, so Urban Meyer is the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tim Tebow, as I mentioned, is from the Jacksonville area and a 100 miles away from the University of Florida over there. And so Tebow, I guess, makes a phone call. Or maybe Urban picks up the phone. I don't know. I'm sure they stay in contact. And Tim expressed some interest in, trying out. We played that that clip from Chris Collingsworth's show on CBS at the beginning where he was talking about the process of having Tim Tebow come try out for the Jaguars. And so Tim Tebow tried out, and you heard Urban Meyer, and he said that it was impressive, and they have not signed him as of yet, but it appears that they will. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to make the team, and he's not going to be playing quarterback either. He'll be playing tight end. Now, people are in a weird uproar about this, but I'm not really surprised because our culture is so divided along political lines, as is everything, as we've learned over the past few years. But this was a weird thing that, oh, Tim Tebow gets an opportunity. Now, Tim Tebow is a very Christian man, and he's been vocal in the past about being anti-abortion and his faith. And because, I guess one of the reasons is because his mother was told to abort him because he was, I guess, in a weird spot or had some medical things. So he's pretty staunchly anti-abortion, and he's knelt in the past at games to pray, to let that be known, I suppose, to the masses out there. And it shared, some people found a connection to Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, former quarterback as well, not playing anymore, now is an activist and a Nike spokesman, and he is not on a football team right now, but Tim Tebow is. And since we live in this funky world where everything is political, this is obviously because Tim Tebow, the big difference here, is white. Colin Kaepernick is not white. So the connections that many are finding on Twitter and in corporate media is that, well, Tim is getting this opportunity because he's white. I don't know how you could prove that. I would say it's more to do with his relationship with Urban Meyer and the success they had at Florida, I think is more likely. But I can't not prove that either. I don't really care. I don't know why anybody else cares. Colin Kaepernick is having a great career after football. Colin Kaepernick has also had many opportunities to play football. He was supposed to sign with Denver. He nixed that. He had a tryout where a bunch of scouts are going to come watch him, and then he moved the workout, and he, you know, all last second, and he just blew his shot. So I don't see, you know, but it's my point of view. I'm sure you have your own, whether it's mine or maybe a different one. If you're listening to the show, you probably agree with me, though, because that's the world we live in as well. You tend to find things that, I don't know, that you agree with and stick with that and don't really challenge yourself. I'm guilty of it too, to a certain extent. So I was talking to Johnny B about this the other night, and Johnny B said a good point. He says, this is just business. You know, they want to sell tickets that Tim Tebow is from Jacksonville. It's a good story. He's a big name. Yes, he hasn't been playing for a long time. Can he catch? Can he play tight end? I don't know. You know, we're going to find out, I suppose. And just because even if they do sign him, it doesn't mean that he will make the team as a tight end. And I found Johnny's analysis astute because, yes, of course, it's business. But at the end of the day, too, professional football teams are trying to win Super Bowls and appease their owners. The team becomes more valuable when you win a Super Bowl. And the more you win, the more valuable you are. That's Urban Meyer's job and any head coach's job, is to produce a winning team to sell tickets. And this is another way, aside from winning, to sell tickets, signing their homegrown Jesus there in Jacksonville. But this is also business in another way, too. And this is a business for media. Media knows now, with Google Analytics, what gets hits. And they found over the past few years that making things about race, about sex, stringing these words together, tend to get more clicks. They get more clicks because, number one, you're going to get people who agree with the article, number one, and they want to be confirmed in their thoughts, I guess is a better word. And you're also going to get people who totally disagree with it. and hate read it. And they found that this is what sells, this is what gets clicks, because it gets a big audience, these things. I click on these things that I hate all the time and read them and retweet them. And so it's a smart business move. Now, is it good culturally? Good for our society? No. No, it's not. But, you know, I don't really know what the answer is. These companies are trying to stay alive, too. They've also been, you know, overtaken by lunatics. That's the other end of this equation. These kids get sent to universities. Universities spit them out, indoctrinated into the world, and they go into these corporations to demand certain things. And if they're not given these things, they'll call the editor a racist. The editor panics and either, you know, lets them do what they want or steps aside, or there's been, you know, several mentions of that. And just how prevalent it is, there was a New York Times sort of town hall last year. This is how pervasive that this ideology runs in the newsrooms. This was a staffer. They asked executive editor Dean Baquette at a town hall meeting. This is a direct quote from the staffer to Dean. He says, "I'm wondering to what extent you think the fact of racism and white supremacy being sort of the foundation of this country should play into our reporting, just because it feels to me like it should be a starting point, you know, like these conversations about what is racist, what isn't racist. I just feel like racism is in everything." So there you go. That is why it is in every single piece of the New York Times. You look at the numbers of times that racism is mentioned in news articles. You know, you can check Google Trends in 2010, right around then, it starts to spike, and now it's just straight line up. And this comes from these kids going to universities, appealing to authority of their professors. Their professors are indoctrinated. This was a conspiracy, so I won't bore you too much with it, but, I mean, it's pretty evident the outcomes of what's happening now. You can see it in the newsrooms. They get indoctrinated, they go into the real world, demand certain things, and people freak out and let them do their bidding. So it is business, but it's also business, you know, for the Jaguars. It's business for the New York Times. It's business for Twitter. Everybody's miserable, but everybody wins. And, you know, it sucks. But it's also, it just is. I don't know how to navigate this. I don't know why anybody cares. Good luck, Tim Tebow. I mean, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. He's already getting threatened on Twitter by players. Devin Bush said he would, "Oh, wait till we play Jacksonville. I'm going to get him because Kaepernick's not on a team." Okay, seems like a threat. But, you know, whatever. It's football, so he's going to get hit. What do you think? 813-693-2124. Twitter, @home_made_man.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We already celebrated, but...
We did, yeah. It was a really good one. Probably the best I've had maybe ever. I don't know.
How old are you now?
34. Wow. Just embracing it, you know. I'm tired of being like, oh, God, I'm... It's something you can't help and you need to accept. And today is the youngest you're ever going to be for the rest of your life.
Do you forget how old you are?
No.
Oh.
In fact, I even like, I'm almost like whenever it's the new year, like February, March, I start saying I'm my next year. So like in March, I was saying I was like 34, even though I was still 33, to kind of prep myself so that when 34 hits, it's not like, oh. And I'll probably do the same thing next year before I turn 35.
Right. Yeah. Ugh. 35 is a big one. That was like, uh-oh, now I'm closer to 40 than 30.
But what are we going to do?
I don't care.
You know, and then it's like you talk to your parents and like, man, when I was 35, I was young as hell. And you're like,
yeah.
Well, why am I never want to think I'm like too old and then realize like 10 years later that I was so young. Like that seems like a mistake.
Yeah, you're like a teenager adult. Right now.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of break it down into the spectrum a little bit. I'm kind of the age where I kind of forget. People ask me how old I am, and it takes me a second to think. Like, 36.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes me a sec.
I know exactly how many days, how many hours. No, I'm just kidding. But in all honesty, it was probably one of the best birthdays I've ever had. I always had this fear that I would invite people to like do something with me and no one would show up.
I know. That is one of your biggest fears.
And part of that is that I've been a gypsy for like the last 10, 12 years of my life. So, you know, you meet a bunch of people, you leave. You meet a bunch of people, you leave. But now I've been here in Florida for like 5 years. I have like a good group, like groups of friends that don't know each other.
Yeah.
And it was really like a meeting of the minds on Saturday to see all of the people that I know like interacting with one another and they hadn't met. And that was really cool. Like, it was really cool to see you and my buddy Blitz.
Yeah. Meet. Nice guy.
Yeah. You both are like my work husbands at prospective jobs, you know? So to see the meeting of the minds was really cool for me. So
yeah, it was a fun time. I had to quite the bar tab. I forgot. You picked a place right on Beach Drive here in St. Pete, which is, I remember being, you know, a nice place.
Yeah.
And nice place usually means all maybe more than average drinks.
Yeah.
And I kind of knew that going into it, and I thought it was just going to be one of those things like, well, I'm just going to spend money today. I had a friend of mine took me up in his, or he rented an airplane. He's a new pilot. So he took me up and he was telling me, oh, that's, you know, I don't get to do this often because it's so expensive. So I felt not obligated, but just wanted to show my appreciation for that opportunity. So
you bought him drinks.
Bought him drinks. I bought other people drinks. I bought me drinks. And I decided to get fancy drinks, too.
I know you. You like to do, like, top shelf, like, whiskeys and bourbons and things like that.
I do like that, but it wasn't even – that's not even that bad. But when you get into the ones where the bartenders have to do work – where they're like muddling mint and all that
mojitos
stuff.
Yeah, and
I
margaritas.
Had my first ever mint julep.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was, I think it was Kentucky Derby that day. So, I want to try. I don't know what the hell that is.
I think you're right. Yeah, it was.
So I wanted to try a mint julep because that's just like the drink. No, it was good. I loved it. Yeah, it was really good.
I remember having one and I'm being like, no, thank you.
Oh, it was very, yeah, you tried a sip of mine and you went, but it was good. Yeah, basically all it is bourbon and I think some soda water and mint. It was really refreshing. I enjoyed it very much.
I'm glad you did, but thanks for coming out. I do appreciate it. And I'm the type of person that it's like I have a birthday, not a birthday week, not a birthday month. It's just a birthday. So when people start, you know, trying to celebrate it on different day, I'm gonna go, listen, I'm not that person. It's just one day and usually I don't do anything at all. So this year was unusual. I think the last time I threw like a thing, a hangout, a dinner, anything for multiple people, more than like two, three maybe, was when I was 21. So I'm not a birthday chick. But this was cool. This was cool. Yeah.
It was. I remember my dad told me something that haunted me about birthdays. I remember being a kid, a product of a divorce. So I would go visit him every other weekend and he picked me up and it was his birthday. And I was a kid, well, I don't know, six, seven years old. And I was so happy for him. Dude, it's your birthday. This is fantastic. I love my birthday. I'm six. My birthday is awesome. Like, you get to eat cake and ice cream, have friends over. Yeah, and
gives you a lot of
pizza
attention.
Pizza and presents. Yeah. And I don't know if he was just in a state of depression at that time, but he just was looking straight ahead, driving his Chevy Blazer. And he just goes, buddy, you're going to get to an age one day where your birthdays just, they don't matter anymore. And I remember being like, that is awful. that was a life lesson that I should not have learned at six, you know? And now I get what he's saying. I was even a birthday guy up until my 20s, but now that, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, I like to go up.
We did a big thing for your birthday a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Was that for 35? Well, that was a big year.
Yeah, 35. Yeah, because but like last year, I guess COVID was going. Yeah. No, it wasn't COVID in November, not yet.
2020.
November
2019. Yeah, for 35.
Wait, November
2019 was your 35th.
What did I think I went? Okay, so COVID was it? That's right. 2020, I just went and had a nice dinner.
Yeah.
Out somewhere.
Yeah.
And that was
by yourself, right?
I was planning on going by myself, but at the last minute, a couple friends went.
Oh, that's right. That's
it
right.
Was really nice. They bought my steak and everything. Yeah. I was really, really nice to them and had a good time. But yeah, and I'm finally at that age where it's not really a thing anymore. You know, people go to work. Like somebody took off at my work. Somebody took off for their birthday. And I was like, what do you mean? Like,
there's only
one
person
to
work with. So I think I know who it is.
No, you don't.
Oh, I don't?
No, it's okay. Somebody who just works in the building.
Ah, okay.
But, and I was just like, what the? That's not a thing. You're an adult. You don't take off.
How old is this person?
I don't know. He must be in his 20s or 30s. Okay. Late 20s, early 30s.
I mean, did he have like a thing planned? Like he was going somewhere with somebody and it was like a trip?
No. He
was
in town.
It was literally like, it's my birthday. I'm staying home.
Yeah, I'm like staying home.
Treating myself.
Okay. And I'm just not going to go to work on my birthday. And I was like, that is just such, like, that's not a thing anymore. Yeah. You can't do that.
No.
That's not how it works.
That's inappropriate.
Did you get to stay home from school when it was your birthday?
No, you go to school and get presents and people give you gifts and everyone says happy birthday to you. That was the best part.
I always missed it because it was always Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, the 25th of November.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so tough. I never got to have a school birthday party.
No, I think my birthday is awesome. The only problem sometimes is it overlaps with Mother's Day sometimes. So that's the only problem. But other than that, like, I feel like the time of the year, just everything about it, like, I like even numbers. It's like an even number. Everything about my birthday is just awesome. It's like around, not Easter, but like spring, summer's approaching, flowers are blooming, you know, May 8th. It's just the end of World War II. It's just a good time. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yeah, that's nice. And it's like springtime, you know, it's a time
where... It's not Super Bowl sweaty, but it's getting there. It's not cold. It's just cool. And there's not really like a lot going on in May. Like it's not during the holidays or anything like that. But it's just like, I don't know. It's just the perfect time of year, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Birthday.
That's cool. Mine sometimes overlaps with Thanksgiving, which is good and bad.
Yeah.
Certain ways it's good. Certain ways it's bad.
Sure.
It takes away some of the luster.
Absolutely.
You know?
I get it. I did want to discuss an incident that happened a couple days ago that's been, you know, I've been going over and replaying in my mind.
Okay.
I'm an atheist. For most people who know me know that. I don't want to be like a CrossFit atheist that's like, hi, I'm on, I do CrossFit.
I will say you have some very strong opinions about things, but you're also very kind with them.
Yeah.
I know that you think, you know, if somebody's into God or, well, I guess God would be the big one. You go, you're stupid, but I also respect your point of view.
I don't want to say I think you're stupid. I think that religion makes smart people do dumb stuff.
So stupid. Semantics here.
No, I don't want to say stupid because, like, for example, one of the people I respect the most, I think one of the greatest minds of our generation is Ben Shapiro, whether you agree with him or not. The guy, like, does not play. He comes to win when it comes to debate.
Commentator, Daily Wire.
Yeah.
Conservative commentator.
Author, everything.
Yeah.
YouTube celebrity. He's fantastic at what he does. He's a professional, seasoned. I mean, he's been writing for like, I think he started writing for like a local like a newspaper. No, like when he was like 17.
Oh.
You know, like editorials when he was like 17. He's also I don't know if it's world class, but like a violinist. You know what I mean? Like the guy he's accomplished a lot in his life and he's really, really smart. And he coined the famous line that people like to use a lot, which is facts don't care about your feelings. I hear that all the time from people. And he's a conservative, and conservatives, I feel like, are considered sometimes the less compassionate group.
Very much so, yeah.
You know, that's kind of the brand is like, you know, fiscally, we're kind of in it to win it, capitalism, you know, do you, and don't get involved with other people, less government overreach, blah, blah, blah. We know the story. But when it comes to religion, I've seen Ben Shapiro just everything that he is when it comes to logic, reason, critical thinking, it just goes out the window when he starts talking about God. I heard him and, you know, Dennis Prager is.
Yes.
They're both Jewish and they were discussing God. And it's really disheartening and almost embarrassing to see someone so like who has such a critical mind and is such a reasonable and rational person. And they just all of that, they just chuck out the window and they start speaking in metaphors and similes and, you know, things that like it's I don't know, to me it's really disheartening. So I see that a lot with people who I often agree with, and I've talked to you about this before, especially when it comes to my dating life, where sometimes I feel like I hang a little bit to the right when it comes to, you know, fiscal issues, and especially within the last year of 2020. I mean, like, holy ass, you know, I've definitely moved more to the right. But usually to the right, you also get people who are very religious, mm-hmm. which I am not. So mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in this no man's land where I feel like I can't really relate to anybody because I really like the family values and the way the accountability that the right usually possesses, but I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't want to go to church, all that sort of stuff. So I do a show on Tuesday nights with a lawyer and his video guy. And the video guy, and I'm not calling him this. He calls himself this. He says, I'm a Bible thumper. Okay. He's Jehovah Witness to a T.
Wants to spread the word.
Wants to spread the gospel. Wants to spread the word. And beyond that, like, I know this comes from a good place, but it's kind of insulting. Like, wants to save people.
Yeah.
Because he knows the way. He knows the best way.
Sure.
And as much as I love all attention, and that includes pity, it is kind of annoying mm-hmm. where they just think that they're better than you and they feel sorry for you, which is funny because I feel sorry for him.
Right.
But I don't let him know that. I don't go, I feel sorry for you. But he lets me know that he's like, you know, I say these things because I care, and I feel like, you know, you're a grown woman and you can do whatever you want, but I want to save you. Mm. That was what I was told. Well, we got into a little bit of an altercation. Now, when it comes to God and stuff like that, beyond anything, I just want to make friends, right? I just want to have good relationships with people in my life. Not everybody needs to know I'm an atheist, or I'm not going to just, you know, shove it down your throat, because I hate when people do that stuff to me.
I hate when people make anything that they believe part of their identity and not just who, you know, just be who you are.
Right.
I can't stand the group aspect of everything.
Agreed.
I would rather just view everybody as a person,
as an individual,
not a member of a group. I just, sure. I'm totally off board with that.
Me too. And I certainly don't want that to be the first thing that people learn about me, because I'm sure they have a lot of, you know, preconceived notions about people who are vegetarian or people who are libertarian or people who are atheist or whatever that may be. But if you come swinging, don't expect me not to swing back.
Yeah.
You know, sort of
fair.
Thing. So he came at me, this guy, and at one point, and I don't think this is what he meant, but, you know, I felt like maybe in the heat of the moment, he wasn't as articulate as he could have been. He said to me, quote, I'm not trying to offend you, but I do have a question. Do you have any standards? And I think what he meant was like a code of ethics, because I don't have any, quote, standards or ethics I have to live by in order to get into heaven. Right.
Okay, I understand.
I think that's where he was going, and I even turned to the lawyer and I said, "Do you want to dress that up and have him ask me that again? Like, because that was kind of rude." But you know, we had a discussion about marriage, and I'm not a big fan of marriage. Marriage often ends in a failed marriage, in a divorce. And he was saying that, you know, the Bible says you have to get married, and he said he won't fornicate until he gets married. But at least this guy isn't a hypocrite, right?
True. Yeah.
Like, I mean, this guy is Christian or Jehovah Witness, and he is a 34-year-old virgin, and he's waiting till he gets married.
That's funny, because in the beginning of my podcast, that's just before, well, if people are listening on your feed, they won't hear, but I was talking about Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Who, and he's also one of these guys who's a very religious person. Mm-hmm. So I like the tie-in here between those two things.
Perfect. And so I told him, you know, how I... And often with radio, if you have a controversial opinion on something, you're going to lean into it a little bit more, because the contrast and the conflict is good for radio, and you don't want to just be agreeing with each other. And I often like to be challenged on my ideas, because that's when you get better at debating and you're stronger with your argument, because if everybody's agreeing with you all the time, you're just kind of like having it like a circle J, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I agree with that. Like, if you're just talking about Trump and you all love Trump or you all hate Trump, you're really not learning, growing, and challenging the way you think about things. Mm-hmm. But when someone comes at you with something and is challenging your beliefs, you really have to be ready for battle to go back in and explain why you're against that.
Mm.
And I mean, it got to the point where I said, you know, he said that if you get married, like, you can't get divorced. And the only circumstance in which you can get divorced is if there's adultery involved. So infidelity.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know you could do it then.
Yeah. I said the Bible says that only in the case of adultery can you get divorced.
Now, which his Bible? Because all the Bibles say basically the same thing, but some are a little different. That's my understanding.
Bible's the same, right?
The
Bible, like,
I don't know. I feel
Torah,
like there's different,
is like
versions.
The Old Testament. The Bible's the Old and the New Testament, right?
Yeah, but how come they're all so different then?
I don't. Are there? I'm not the person to ask.
There's different sects of Christianity, for example. There's Methodists.
I
don't know.
I don't think they have different
Lutheran.
Bibles, do they?
I don't know. There's a King James version.
Maybe
there's
it's just
a
like
different
the unabridged.
Version.
I really don't know. I thought the Bible was just like the Bible. Right. But I could be wrong. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So then when I asked him, well, what about physical violence? Can you work through that? Like, thinking he would say, well, of course, that's a fine reason to get divorced if your man or woman is physically abusing you. He said no, because it doesn't say that in the Bible.
Mm.
I was blown away. I don't even know how to argue that, because I just thought it was such a given. You know what I mean? He said that that's not a reason that to get divorced, and you should try to work through physical violence.
Wow.
Right.
Well, I don't think you can. There's certain things that you can't debate. That would probably be one of them. Like, you're not going to obviously say, well, I'm open to that idea.
Yeah, no.
And he says this is an absolute for him. So there is that. I think people need to get more comfortable with that, too, agreeing to disagree,
sure,
and just moving on.
And we did, because we kind of hit the wall, and I just went, well, I don't know what to say from here, because I certainly don't agree with that. But again, he at least stayed true. Like, he was logically consistent with what he was doing. But yeah, he came at me swinging, and I was swinging back, and he is a big fan of Ben Shapiro, and often uses, when we talk about crypto, when we talk about stats, when we talk about anything else, he often says, well, you know, facts don't care about your feelings. And I was like, well, I don't want to shine the mirror right back at you, but facts don't care about your feelings, you know?
Yeah,
sort of
right.
A thing, like, where are the facts when it comes to the Bible? There are none.
Well, I would think from his point of view that the facts are the Bible. So that's where that's the
right.
Absolute.
And I would say, well, go prove it in a lab. Like, repeated measures. But you can't say use the scientific method on the Bible, because the Bible is based off of faith. And faith is a different method of extracting information about the natural or supernatural world.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he didn't like that too much and just kind of shut down. And when we started talking, and Kevin, the lawyer, was kind of mediating a little bit, because he's kind of like the middle. He's a man of God, but he's like a little bit more reasonable.
Yeah.
And we're going back and forth, and he said, Anna, would you read like 30 minutes of like a excerpt from the Bible? If you know, so-and-so gave it to you to read, would you read that? And then you guys could discuss it like the next time we have a show. Sure. Absolutely. Would be happy to. And we're, you know, he's discussing what he would want me to read, blah, blah, blah. I go, I don't even like reading, by the way. But for, you know, the sake of, you know, being open-minded, I'll certainly read an excerpt of the Bible. Sure. And when I said, well, you know, I don't have a text with atheism, so I can't be like, read, you know, the Quran. So I said, can I send you a video? Would you watch it? It's like 20 minutes. And he was like, no.
Mm.
Why would I? And I go, what the hell? Like, that, I think, made me angry, because, like, I'm making an agreement to be open-minded, and you are not.
Yeah.
And what I don't understand, and maybe we can both brainstorm here together, is, like, if you tell me that I'm going to hell because I don't believe in God, like, I just go, okay, like, that's cool. But if I say, I think what you believe is wrong and is just, it's not real, I mean, it is a personal offense to the nine. They're upset. They're angry with you. Maybe it's the fact that, like, me challenging them is like me challenging their intelligence. I never said he was stupid or anything like that. But I'm like, you're believing fables. Like, I don't know.
I think he's, I mean, just speculating, he might be afraid, because this is a part of his personality. It's what he was brought up in. It's what he believes. And he's afraid that if he learns some new information, that it might change his mind, and he doesn't want to have his mind changed.
Very similar to, like, political parties.
Yes, and that's what I was going to bring up. There is I don't remember what it's called, but there is a piece of your brain where religion lives that lights up. They did MRI brain scans of religious people, and it lights up in the same area, and there's religion lives there. And there must be something that fills that gap. if
probably sense of community and like
yeah probably a belonging. Tribe belonging yeah. right and I think that in modern times as religion the faith and religion in this country and really all around the world in the West declines, that it's getting filled with politics. And it is literally, quite literally, good versus evil, as opposed to being just, you're wrong. Charles Krauthammer said that, you know, he's a conservative commentator.
RIP.
Yeah, and he said that the difference between conservatives and liberals is that we think they're wrong, they think we're evil. Mm-hmm. And I think if you were to do a pull up a graph of where political standing and how religious they are, I think obviously you were saying earlier that conservatives are much more religious than liberals. And I think that that part of their brain still needs to be filled. So they end up just becoming of faith, have faith in politics yeah. and their leaders in politics. And these, you know, Nancy Pelosi and these figures, Barack Obama, become, you know, like the Pope
yeah.
In their view. And it makes sense mm-hmm. to me when I look at it that way. I mean, I don't consider myself anything at this point. I really can't stand the Republican Party, and I can't even begin to deal with the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of view it as a religion, and it kind of makes more sense to me that
so,
way.
So, like, for people like you and I who, I mean, I'm registered as a libertarian, but it's not like I'm going to meet it. You know what I mean? It's not my identity, like you said. And I'm not a religious person. Like, what do you think fills that void for us then? If we're kind of like free thinkers, we're kind of but just like thought nomads. You know what I mean? Like, we don't necessarily belong or identify with any group. We don't need labels. Like, what do you think fills that for us? Because we're still human.
Yeah, and I did think about that because I'm sure it's something. And it could just be the that theory of just being independent and having that faith in your independence.
That is kind of a group of people.
And it kind of is. There's people all over the internet. We're going in October to see, you know, some of these people. So, so it kind of becomes, even though you're, I don't know, there's just two sides to a coin, you know? So even though you're not something, you kind of are, you're just the polar opposite of that thing.
Which is still a group in and of itself.
It's still kind of a group.
To be like the anti-group. To be an anti-conformist, you're still conforming to being an anti-conformist. It's
because there's a bunch of people who feel like you do, and then you tend to group together.
Yeah. So I think that's what's going on here. And I mean, to me, it's almost flattering when someone gets so upset with you when you... You know, especially when it comes to religion, at least for me, because I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't realize you cared so much what I thought, which pisses them off more if you bring that up, because I'm like, he's telling me I'm going to burn in eternal damnation. And I'm like, okay, like, who cares? But when I say, like, I think you're reading fables, that hits to his core. I think it's because, like, you're telling someone you're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
You're buying in and paying into this insurance policy that's never going to pay out to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you wait to have sex, you whatever, you know, you don't eat fish on Sunday or whatever the thing the Catholics do. You go to church, you go to synagogue, you do all these things because you think it's going to get you somewhere. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day, none of this is real.
Sure, it's attacking who they are.
You're wasting your time, and you've put all this effort into being a good Christian, a good Jew, a good Muslim, whatever. And at the end of the day, you're just going to, you know, rot in the dirt. People don't like hearing that.
No, they sure don't.
You know, and they also believe that God or religion like got them through hard times. And I've had this conversation with a few people, and I go, believe whatever you want, but in my opinion, that wasn't God. Like, that was you. Like, you need to give yourself more credit for getting yourself through hard times. So I think that that should give you more confidence to be like, I did that. Like, I got myself through. I picked myself up by the bootstraps and continued on and got through a challenging time. That wasn't God. But again, maybe in the sense, like, because they believe that it was God that helped them, they were able to put their baggage on like a fake crutch and it helped them. But really, it was them, in, you know, my mind.
Yeah, and I think that human beings are just equipped to make things easier. Their brain just works to simplify as opposed to really get into the nuances and details. Because when you look into the details of things, you can go, oh, I feel nauseous. I feel sick. Like when you...
It's very comforting.
It's very comforting just to be like, I'm, you know, God created everything and I'm with them or he, they be. Yeah. And, you know, instead of saying I'm floating on a rock in a endless abyss by myself and
getting hurled through space.
Yeah.
X amount of miles per hour.
Right. So it just freaks him out. And then, like, I even got freaked out. There's this guy, Donald Hoffman, who thinks that reality is a VR headset, and he's doing research into this, that it's
simulation.
Not, I don't even know if you could call it a sim, I guess kind of, but just the reality isn't reality. So it's just a layer upon a layer of...
What is his discipline? Like, what is he...
Philosophy.
Okay.
And I think he's a physicist, too.
Okay.
I
mean, all right. Well, that gives him a little more credence, I suppose.
Yeah.
That he's not just some, like, schmuck on YouTube.
That's... No. He's a, you know, in a university... So that, and I was listening to a podcast with him, and it's fascinating, but it also freaked me out. You know what I mean?
Is
like,
he making sense, or
I mean,
it's just making one dude, sense, right?
You know, like, I don't know if I have the IQ to understand all the things that he's talking about, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I didn't find it necessarily convincing, but it just freaked me. It just freaked me out.
That could be a possibility.
It's like, what the hell is on the outside of that then? Because we don't even know what's here, let alone, oh my God, if it's a,
And I
felt myself getting, I don't feel good. I feel like I'm going to barf. And it just makes you just want to go back to that simplification of...
I'm telling you.
And it just makes you able to live your life day to day for some 100%. People.
I got really into philosophy in college, and nothing will suck the joy out of anything like philosophy will. Because it's like that kid that's like, well, why did it rain? Well, because of this. Why? Because of that. Why? Why? Like, the whys continue forever, and you can never just assume anything to be true. At the end of the... With philosophy, like, you can it feels like... If you want to get down to the nitty gritty and like the logical premise and then the conclusion and blah, 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 you can never accept anything as fact or true. You can never assume anything, which is annoying because you're like, I just want to believe that that color is red.
Right.
It's like,
right.
How do you know it's red? Mm-hmm. Is it really red or is it just what your eyes are seeing? You know, it's like that sort of stuff. Where you're like, oh, it's cute at first for like a hot second. And then you're like, no, like it's red. I don't want to. It's red.
I don't want to think about it anymore.
It's annoying. Like it's not even really there. Just like light waves. That's a certain frequency. You're like, okay. Thank you. But
yeah,
no, thank you. But one of the things, probably my main hang up with religion right now, other than the fact that it's like, you know, it caused a lot of harm. People are killing each other over. Besides that.
Quite literally. Yeah. We're in the Middle East right now.
But beyond that, I think that it really stifles critical thinking more than anything else. Right. Because it's just God's will. And why is that there? Why is the tree there? Oh, it's because of God. And why has this happened? Because of God. Like, it just... It is very comforting to be like, it's God. Like, that seems like it's like a blanket answer for everything, which makes you feel warm and fuzzy. But I would much rather be uncomfortable with like something that I know is true. Like, it's icky to think I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die, but I'd rather wrestle with that than just be than knowingly believe a lie, in my opinion. If that makes sense.
I do. Yeah, that makes sense. I understand.
But I ended up apologizing to this guy because I felt like I upset him, and that's never my goal. Like, I don't want to upset people. And then his response was, I don't want to say infuriated me, but it made me more angry because he said, you know, I know you're a grown woman. Yeah, I'm allowed to have ideas, right? He's like, but I just, you know, that's why I care about you, and I feel like I can save you. Which is insulting because it's like, I know what is good for you more than you do for yourself. And I feel like the same. What, like, I feel like I'm the believer of the truth, but I don't feel the need to spread it to people. Like, you do you, like, leave me alone. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's just personality differences, I guess. I think you could just look at it as, well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I did. I said that.
But at a certain point, too, you have to be like, enough. I'm not interested. I know your argument.
Yeah.
And this is where we just need to part ways. And, you know, part ways in this discussion.
Yeah.
And continue a professional or, you know, friendship, whatever this is. And he needs to respect that, too.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day.
But I think the thing that upset me the most was that I was being open-minded and being like, I will more than happy read an excerpt from the Bible. Will you watch a video? Like, that seems like a fair trade. And he refused.
Yeah. Well, and you won.
I did. I won.
All right, folks, that'll do it for the Homemade Broadcast this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Anna. Thank you to Jared again for that donation. And if you'd like to give a donation to this program, go to hmbradio.com/donate. You do not have to. I'm just letting you know that it's there and available if you'd like to do that. And to those of you that have, I greatly appreciate it. Also, hmbradio.com/store. You can get your HMB radio gear. We got t-shirts, hoodies, a cool hat, and it's available for purchase there. hmbradio.com/store. And with that, we're out. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Avera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please do tell a friend about it. Give it a 5-star rating in the App Store. Retweet it. Home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter for me. Thank you very much. Will Koontz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete, and Sunshine 96.7 FM. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.